Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales. Natalie has been in the top 1% in the country for over 25 years and number one in Hawaii for 2 years prior to stepping back to building Realty Universal. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, Randy. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. Enjoying the sunshine here in California. A little cooler, so that's a good thing. It can get kind of brutal, 100-plus here in Northern California, but enjoying it. How are you?
I'm doing great. Wonderful. Yeah, I'm in Hawaii, so the weather's been pretty cool. You know, it's starting to feel like fall's coming in now. You know, you have these subtle differences with the weather. And,
yeah.
So it's kind of nice, you know, very subtle on this side of the world, but in this place. But it's, all's good. I'm
very
excited
subtle.
To listen to our first and second half of the show today. We've got a lot of, some controversial issues coming up on the first half. Pros and cons about should Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac go or stay? So it'll be fun. This is where we need probably a couple hours to go over this one, so we'll have to revisit it a few times on another show.
Well, yeah, because it's information that I think people hear those names, but they're not really aware of all of that, you know, is involved in those, and so it's important, yeah, I think, to repeat information, and as you said, it could be another a show or two down the road, because, and we invite people to call in again. More and more folks are listening live, and if you'd like to, 347-945-5428, again, the number 347-945-5428, typically with internet radio, archived listens are really the main deal, but we've been enjoying some the calls in the last couple of weeks, and if you are listening live, we want to make sure you're aware that you can call and ask questions, so that I'm not the only person asking, you know, the dumb questions. But
never dumb questions. You know, I hear a lot of people like to just go ahead and download and listen to their leisure. It just becomes a way of the future,
yeah.
And I love that.
Yep.
It's really cool.
Yep,
definitely.
That's the other,
and on the second half, you have a speaker coming in.
Deborah Wittig. Her website is takeonlife.net, and been through a lot in life and has come out kind of the other side, committed to helping people. And I love this phrase, discover the warrior within. You know, I love that phrase. That's just one of those things you can hang your hat on, that, you know, when the going gets tough, obviously we have God to lean on. But there is also a component where we've got to, you know, we've got to do something as well, and we've got to become a warrior. And she kind of breaks that down. What does that mean to become a warrior in terms of your not letting what you see around you affect you, but being all you can be? And very, very inspiring. So I'm excited. That second half with Deborah Wittig, takeonlife.net is her website. And she'll motivate us, as is always, kind of what we look for in the second half. In the weeks to come, we're going to be kind of really mixing it up. We're going to have some folks on from a crisis pregnancy center next week. The week after, we're going to have a mom, an entrepreneur, who just got back from Ethiopia and ministering to people over there. Just, again, being the change in the world, you know, that she seeks kind of idea. So we've got quite a mixture coming up in the next few weeks on the second half.
I'm so looking forward to that. When you mentioned about Ethiopia, did you know, I didn't realize, for just $5,000, a lot of the $5,000 can cover a well for a whole entire village in many of these areas. It's just incredible to me.
Well, and just to clean water, you know. I mean, that's what we're talking
about.
Well,
it's just
clean
people,
water.
Babies or kids are dying from not having it. I was just shocked that, they, you know, that, you know, that, that it's so cheap. That $5,000 is not a lot of money if you're raising money for one well. That's amazing to me. I think, I mean, you know, that can feed, not feed, well, actually help feed, healthy-wise. So, amazing. Well, I'm looking forward to these next shows. So today we're talking about should Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac go away? These are Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, government-sponsored business companies that have been put in place to protect the public, backing loans, insuring loans for years. And I don't know who may have heard, probably everybody's heard Obama's speech, that he thinks that basically they should go away with checkpoints in place, that we should go back and privatize capital. I think it sounds like a good speech, but there's a lot of work to be done to get to that point. And, you know, everybody today seems to say, "Don't let's not let the government get involved. Keep the government out. And we don't want the control of the government." But this is one situation where we kind of need some overseeing. That's why we have laws and we have policing and rules and regulations so that we can keep checkpoints in place. Now, I'm sure by the speech it wasn't meant at all that we aren't going to have checkpoints in place, but there's a large concern if we really phase out Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. The there was already a bill introduced by Tennessee Republican Bob Corker and Virginia Democrat Mark Warner to liquidate the companies within the next 5 years. The legislation would provide for government reinsurance that would kick in only once private creditors had shouldered large losses. I really, from being in the industry for over 27 years, I don't think that this is the time to go and rehaul and think about winding down Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. I don't think that they're the big cause of what happened. I mean, we definitely, the looser restrictions is what caused this big collapse that we had in 2008. It wasn't tightening of the restrictions that caused it. It was the opposite. So these programs and have been in place for years for a good reason, and I think a lot of the private lenders are going to, it gives them more of the upper hand to charge higher rates. It would give them more of the upper hand to want more monies down. We have FHA. FHA is a fantastic program where buyers can qualify for more than they can qualify for conventional, and they can get in with less money down because it's insured. It's backed. You have, of course, private backing. If people put in 20% down, it's not always private. Sometimes it is. I think that we're getting into an area that this is the wrong time to get into this. And I feel like they're kind of saying yes and no at the same time. You know, when they're trying to make us say, this sounds really good. Well, get the government out. Oh, that sounds really cool. And but then, no, they're not really, they're not, I think they're, it doesn't feel good to me. It's not something I would propose the way they're proposing it. Now, of course, they can come back and backpedal and say, well, this isn't what we meant. But these programs are in here to protect us. Now, can they be revamped and changed and change some of the guidelines? Sure. The big problem you're going to have, if the government isn't going to insure the loans, then the private investors are going to be more at risk and not want to put out the loans, right? Because now with these types of loans, a lot of the private investors feel safe because they know that they're going to be, the loans are backed by the government. If all of a sudden that's not going to happen, then we have other issues. Now, what I see, and this is my personal opinion, which I'm allowed to give because I'm an expert in this industry, I know the last few years the government's been putting out a lot of programs to give tax credits and for the subsidy Section 8 programs. There's a lot out there where you're seeing large apartment complex owners, developers, et cetera. If they convert the properties to Section 8, they're getting large credits. So it's beneficial for them to do this. Now, what happens, and we do need Section 8. I'm totally for it, but not everywhere, anywhere, all the time, just for it to become more rampant. So what's happening is you're getting more situations where we're going to have more renters out there than homeowners. And I don't think that's a good situation overall, because it's been shown and proven years after years in the United States that people love the American dream of buying a home, of owning that home. Now, you know, when you own your home, you can knock down walls if you want to. You can do projects. You can build your, you know, you can have a plan. There's a lot of benefits besides just the tax write-offs of owning your own home, which they've been trying to do away with that for a while too, which hopefully will never happen. So when you look at something like this, there's a big picture, and I think personally, this is not helping the lower and middle class to buy homes. This is going to hurt them if Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac pull out. Now, mind you, I don't see all their proposals, so there could be something that's so phenomenally great that they're going to pull out of the hat that's going to, you know, be like, wow, I never thought of that. So, you know, I'm definitely want to see both sides of the equation, also want to see what the proposals are. I don't think this law that was introduced, the legislation, is going to get very far without a lot of revamping from what I'm seeing and reading. But truly, this isn't this, how are you going to help people if you take away what does help them, what loosens up the restrictions and gives the investors the ability to feel comfortable lending, if you take away that? How are you going to help lower class and middle class if they need way more money for down payments and they don't have the money, you know? So yeah. I think we don't want to become – there's nothing wrong with renting, and some people are very happy renting, but you don't have the same – you don't have the tax write-offs. They don't have you know, you can't do what you want unless the landlord says you can, you know, et cetera. So that's my two cents so far.
Well, yeah, it's – by the way, again, the phone number, 347-945-5428. 347-945-5428. Again, the topic here on Realty Universal Radio today with Natalie Mullenix is, should Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac go away or not? And so you just kind of let us know how you feel. And again, it's like, I don't know, I heard one time a pastor talk about his denomination. He said, you know, our denomination is kind of like Noah's Ark. A lot of stink aboard, but it's the best thing afloat, you know? And I thought,
yeah,
that's kind of an interesting way to say it. But it sounds like with this as well, that it sounds like what I'm hearing you say is that the positives outweigh the negatives. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
The positives to do away with it?
No, to keep it.
Or the positive? No, not at all. Yeah. The positives of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac definitely outweigh the negatives. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's, you know, a lot wasn't watched, and there were things that were loosened up in the 90s that, you know, in restrictions that allowed a lot of this predatory lending to come into play that shouldn't have been come into play. So we can learn from our mistakes. That's the whole idea of growing and learning, is to learn from our mistakes. And then, but that doesn't mean throw the baby out with the bathwater and just say, let's get rid of all this, you know. The government bailouts, they came in and they did major bailouts. It's not fair now to say, oh, we did these huge bailouts and we didn't put any restrictions in the bailouts, so now we're like really hurting, so how are we going to get the money? Well, oh, let's go get it from the housing industry. Uh-uh, it doesn't work that way. You know, we need more jobs. We need people to step up to the plate, kind of like what you mentioned, our second speaker who's going to come on, who's going to talk about the warrior within, you know, and I like to say the peaceful warrior, but sometimes we can't be that as peaceful as we want. The warrior within, we need people to get stronger through these economies, to go provide for their families, to not say, give me a handout. We need people to stand on their feet and say, I can do this, and how am I going to do this? And yes, it may be extra work and extra saving and cutting back and skimping and planning, but that's what we need, everybody involved, and we need the families and people individually to feel comfortable doing that. And that's what we can give them through home ownership, through protection, not saying, okay, well, we've got a mess here, let's dump this. But the government saying, you know, or I want to say President Obama stating that we need to transfer the mortgage market towards a future state that will rely primarily on private capital, I don't agree with that. I mean, I agree if the money's going to be pouring in and then these people are protected, but we have big issues in the country right now that it seems like they're trying to government, you know, the government wants to get involved in all these other areas that maybe they shouldn't be getting involved in, but yet one that has been working. It's worked really well all these years. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have actually worked very well if you look at the historical past of the, you know, the evidence. Why get rid of that? So I just feel like this is smoke and mirrors, other than, you know, I'm just not happy about it. But David Stevens, I'm quoting from LinkedIn, he said he thinks it's great. He says, the White House believes, as I do, that both legislative and non-legislative solutions are necessary in order to continue the housing recovery as comprehensive reforms move down the road. I agree with that statement, but it means we still need it, though. We just need to reform things, change things, you know. Don't do away with it. And basically, you know, again, it could be just the way the speech was given, that, you know, and what's going out there, but it doesn't look really good. So, you know, we'd love to hear what you have to say. We're going to end up having a few more shows on this topic. We'll also, through our network, be doing some teleseminars. So if you're an agent or broker listening to this, please also email us at radio@realityuniversal.com. Call in 347-945-5428. This isn't a topic that's going to go away. We would love as much input as possible. You know, who knows, we may end up at some point needing signatures from thousands and thousands of people across the country to stop this if they ever want to just totally do away with it. It's a biggie. It's really biggie. It's definitely not something to be taken lightly. And I'm sure they're not going to just take it lightly. The government's not going to take it lightly, and I'm sure, hopefully, it's not meant to be so drastic.
Well, yeah, it seems like in that whole debacle, right, the whole meltdown that happened with the, in the mortgage industry and that whole mess, obviously so many factors playing a part, but it seems like, And again, I'm not an agent or broker by any means, but it just seems like politicians in some ways blamed Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, almost like they were kind of trying to protect their rear ends or something. You know, I mean, there seemed like there was this kind of pointing the fingers at all kinds of things other than taking responsibility. It was my evaluation. And so, like you say, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac working well for many, many years, and then, you know, because of some, you know, folks who abused the system, and there were all, you know, all of a sudden it became heavy with people, you know, who absolutely had no business getting a loan, right? I mean, it kind of went to an extreme.
You're exactly right. But you know what it is? It's like put a kid in a candy store and don't have any restrictions and say, go ahead, eat all you can. They're going to get sick, right? They're going to do it. No, that's what happened in the 90s, and I won't mention which president was in when we did that. And anyone listens going to go, boy, you guys are so opinionated. But that's the good thing about doing your own show. We get to be opinionated. We get to have our opinions. But anyhow, the things were loosened up that actually kind of set the stage for, hey, in 2002, 2003, if you breathed, you could get a loan, you know, almost. But that didn't happen. It happened in the late 90s. It didn't happen then. So you're right.
Yeah.
Those are the things. Because if you get, so right now, if we hypothetically just say, took it away, and all of a sudden you've got investors out there that could have a field day and do whatever they want, boy, will we have a mess. I noticed in the ruling it said that they were saying, you know, they'd have the right to come back in when there's a big mess. Well, I'm sorry, you can plan on coming back in if you do it that way. So, you know, I'm giving it a drastic scenario if we just did away with it. I'm hoping, because they're saying wind down in 5 years. I'm hoping, this is when, I think this is as you get older, Randy, and you get it, you go, you know what? maybe it's time to get in politics. I can't take this anymore. But
you see why people do that. You want to see it all,
huh?
You see why people do that, like the like Ron Paul. All of his life, he was a medical doctor, and then he got involved in politics. You know, of course, as a representative from Texas, and then of course the last couple of times ran for president, and people kind of talk about him being crazy. But
he made a lot of sense to me,
you know.
Yeah.
And it's just common sense. And he's an example of somebody, like you said, later in life who went, you know what, I got to get involved, because otherwise, what seems to be happening, and this kind of feeds into, again, this bigger political kind of landslide going on. But, if we continue, and this gets to another conversation, but it works in terms of, it connects in terms of, you look at the food stamp thing, and I guess what I'm saying is this middle class, lower class thing, you know, the middle class is disappearing, and so fewer and fewer people are going to be able to afford, even think about buying a home. And Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac.
But it's happening, and it's almost like, exactly, yeah, it's horrible.
We're helping those people, and now
it's
going to
really
be impossible.
Wrong. It's wrong to say, because it all starts within. You don't have to be handed a bunch of money to go make money, and I'm proven fact of that. You know what I mean? It's not, money's not everything in life, but we are, and especially in the United States, have the ability to get out there and work and do it. How can so many people come from other countries I was born in another country, but how many people come from other countries and they have the desire and the drive and they make it? They make it.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll hear
mm-hmm.
story after story after story. They came with, $5 or no money, or it's over and over and over. If you really get into it, why? Because they have the desire within. They care.
Yep.
They knew. They were going to make it. They weren't going to let someone say, stop me. What happens, though, when people sometimes get used to the lifestyle of the welfare, and I'm not knocking welfare. People need it. People definitely, it's a program that was set up to help people get on their feet, and in dire situations, people have disabilities, so I am not knocking it at all. But this problem that happens when people take it as a lifestyle, they don't, they could go try to get side jobs, because I hear it all the time, can't work because they'll take my welfare away. I can only make this much money because they'll take my welfare away. I can only have this. What's happening is mentally, you are what you think, and you are who you are and what you are, and I don't care if you're born into millions or billions of dollars. If your mindset is going to be in the gutter and you don't think you can make it, you're not going to make it. And we see that many a times in families where people were born with a silver spoon that the one doesn't make it, and it's not the money. You can be born on the street and not have a dime and end up going and making it. And wealth isn't just about money. You want to provide. But if your mind's saying, they'll take my welfare away, my food stamps, I can only make a bit, you are never going to make it. And the worst thing that you're doing is you're ruining your kids, your grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren, and shame on you. And that, see how that, I'm saying that, and somebody in that position is going to say, you don't know how it is. You're talking to the wrong person. I do know how it is.
Yeah.
I was there when I was 18 years old. No, I was there.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, but that's what I think. The government is hurting people, and it's the mindsets we need to get and change. And so the housing, a home's a big deal. People love to say, this is my home. You know, it doesn't matter if your home is a one-room place or big. It doesn't matter size. It doesn't matter about keeping up with the Joneses. It's a matter of, it's yours. It's your family's. You feel safe, you know. And that safety is important. We expect it. So I just don't see this as a little thing. And I don't think our economy is doing so well that we need to keep rocking the boat like crazy. We need to give things certain times. I totally agree that maybe I could see President Obama say, that's not what I meant. You misunderstood me. You know, I'm only going to do X, Y, Z. And then I'd say, thank you, sir, that you're spelling it out specifically and not making this big smoke and mirrors thing that we keep constantly hearing, which gets me and many people very aggravated, you know. So it's a serious, but this is a huge one. This isn't something lightly like this. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, that's huge. So anybody that's listening, if you're not familiar with it, it's worth it for you to Google. It's worth it for you to read up on it. It's worth it for you to get involved in the politics of it, you know, even with writing, you know, locally in your community, because it's going to be a huge, this could spell disaster if it's not handled the proper way. like, you know, another one. And nobody wants another. You know, we're still trying to still muddle through. People are learning to get out of what happened, you know, a few years back. So
yeah.
How's our timing right now? Because I'm not in front of the – I'm just
Yeah, you know, first of all, you're on fire. I love this. I love the passion, and this is really, really good stuff. We've got about 3 minutes before the bottom of the hour, and,
okay.
of course, so we've got, again, time to take a call. If somebody wants to respond or you know, give us your 2 cents worth or even ask a question, 347-945-5428. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm gonna. I have two comments from two people that were quoting on David Stevens' LinkedIn article, and Brian Arnold, assessor at Warren County, he said the president does not want the government to insure these loans, but still wants to be able to regulate who gets a loan. Sounds like a disaster. Another vice president at Johnson Capital, he says that what about FHA? All this is, you know, this, you know. We're not looking at the big picture. He's got a lot of comments here, and one I'm going to pull out is he just said this is great for apartment owners, not necessarily homeowners.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
You know, you're going to get a take from, you know, a lot of people, and I think people in the real estate industry that have been around it, we live it, we see it, for years, we need to voice our opinions because, I do love the fact that we're allowed to look at the laws now online, right? I don't know if, do they post all of them in full? I know we're able to see what's coming up, and I think that's going to be better. It's just at least to get digging in and get involved.
So important. And again, I think you're right. I mean, people are really, again, busy. We're busy with our lives. But if we're not careful, you know, we're going to see literally the American, not only the American dream, but, you know, I think America as we know it, go away. And if we don't continue to have this balanced approach, I think Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac is an example of a balanced approach, so it helps people who need it, but, you know, it's not the, well, let's just give up and, you know, live in an apartment and be on welfare, and I think there's that real temptation to do that as people see it becoming harder and harder to achieve the American dream.
Yeah, exactly, but we got to think about our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, not just us. Because what we do today is going to affect the future, and we're seeing it now, you know. So let's learn from our mistakes and make it work, you know. And you can still be happy and have peace, and everybody wants security and love and peace. But it doesn't mean you have to quit. Quit's not the way to do it. But you're, like you said, I think America's going to go away with what we know if this keeps up, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Wow,
yeah.
Good stuff, really. This, you're right, we could go on and on with this for another couple of shows, and we probably
absolutely
will.
And I said again, yeah, I know I'm not to cut you off, Randy, because you're all on your side, but I have to say again, if anybody's listening, wants to please email us, contact us, agents and brokers out there, if you're in our network, you know who you are. We are going to do more on this, so please get involved. Thanks very
Radio
much.
At realtyuniversal.com is that website. So let's take a break. On the other side, we are all going to discover the warrior within. Buckle your seatbelt.
This
is going to be awesome.
We're excited to be able to continue to bring to the world stage a company as dedicated to universal excellence as Realty Universal, Inc. On the surface, our company has been initiating a revolution in the real estate world since 1996. We started offering our menu programs when it was not the standard way of doing business. Now it is so much more understood and commonplace, although we are still ahead of the rest due to experience within the systems. In today's economy, our menu programs make it possible for buyers and sellers to still have a win-win situation. The best situation in life is when everyone wins. Everyone must give in to assist in the outcome, and what happens is very positive experience. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe that sellers and buyers should have choices. As obvious as this seems, traditional real estate has never been structured in such a way as to allow the multitude of choices sellers and buyers truly deserve. After years of perfecting and receiving feedback on our programs, we have developed real estate menu systems that are used by buyers, sellers, and agents and brokers who are part of our Realty Universal network, which is growing by leaps and bounds. Real estate is still a solid investment to invest in if you are in for the long haul. It can also be one of the best investments of your capital if handled correctly. In the United States, we are fortunate to have the tax write-offs that we take for granted while owning property. To obtain the best value for your real estate, there needs to be a market of both buyers and sellers, as well as a means of bringing the two together. Now more than ever, due to the recent loan crisis, even with bringing buyers and sellers together, there needs to be a way to make the financing work if a loan is needed. There are still many options available, and we can help. Whether you're a buyer, seller, going through a short sale, investing at the top or bottom, we have trained Realty Universal members in each state and affiliates who can customize your process the way it will work best for you. We do advise that you coordinate with your accountant and real estate attorney so your plan is intact. We have all learned through this economy that planning and averting pitfalls can make a world of difference in our futures. Ultimately, you have to rely on you. After consulting with the experts, we set you up to win.
And again, Realty Universal Radio, we are back in the website, realtyuniversal.com, to find out more about what you just heard about. And the number, 347-945-5428, we spent the last half hour talking about Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and whether they should go away. And really, interestingly enough, ties into this second half because we're going to be talking to Deborah Wittig, and she is actually with us. And Deborah is a whole life coach, trainer, motivational speaker. She's involved with the Deeper Path team, which you've heard me talk about from time to time. And she's passionate about helping people empower others to take on life, conquer obstacles. And I love this phrase, awaken the warrior within. And I think the sub-theme, Natalie, in this last half hour as we've talked, is that people, you know, the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac thing, and in addition to everything else going on in the country, there's this tendency, I think, with people to kind of give up and to go, you know what, American dream, not going to happen. I'm hoping I can just somehow get by. And boom, we've got Deborah. And by the way, her website is takeonlife.net. And here's Deborah talking about the warrior within. So all the way from Houston, Texas, Deborah Wittig, welcome to the show.
Hey.
Thank you very much.
Well,
I'm going to throw in a little bit of Texas here. Actually, here in Houston, we don't do that. We're a little more multicultural down here.
I love that.
But if you'd like, I could throw in a little Texas twang. It doesn't make you feel any better.
That makes us feel real good.
I try not to.
So, Deborah, and obviously we're going to get into, obviously, that idea of the warrior within. And, again, I know with somebody like you, as is usually the custom in the second half, this time is going to fly by. But in the break there, you were talking about kind of what we were talking about that first half and how it applies to what you were saying. Could you kind of talk about that again, how you feel like that all the drama and whatnot that happens in people's personal lives does kind of affect family, community, and eventually the nation? Could you kind of talk about that a little bit?
Sure. That's my passion, is to see people rise up and be who they are called to be and what their purpose is. Mm-hmm. And I think it begins with us personally. I mean, the person we see when we look in the mirror, that's where it begins. And as we get our stuff together, it impacts our marriages, our families, our children, and so on. Likewise, on the opposite side, if we're full of drama ourselves and all kinds of issues and offense and getting mad, well, that extends to the family, that extends out to the job, it extends out wherever. And the thing about the government and all of our officials, they're human beings too, and they're subject to the same types of issues that we face. And unfortunately, unless you're really trained and or can be like me and put on this poker face, well, you will never know what I've got going on. unless they can do that, all that drama comes to the table and we see it happening. So I tend to look at them as people. I'm not going political on any, you know, whatever. I don't care about all that. I'm seeing human beings that are struggling just like the rest of us are, trying to fight a defeated mentality and say, you know what, I can do this. I can be what I'm called to be. I have to take those steps and move forward. You know, pull it up from deep within me if I have to, but I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do and not give in to defeat, not quit, you know, not give up. Because that's what I'm seeing a lot of, is people giving up, and I want to step in there and help them pull that out and wake up that warrior within them and say, hey, you're meant for more than this. You can do more than this. Come on, let me show you how. That's where I am.
That's awesome.
So talk about the qualities of a warrior then, since that's kind of the analogy we're using here. What are some qualities of a warrior that people need to cultivate?
I'm thinking about this, and I kind of put it kind of a whimsical way, not to take anything from Jeff Foxworthy. I definitely love him, but you know, you might be a warrior if.
Oh, there you go.
You might be a warrior if. We don't get too heavy here. I want people to take it, laugh about it, but let it sink in. You might be a warrior if you walk in peace, regardless of what's happening around you. You might be a warrior if you create a drama-free zone, beginning with that person who's in the mirror looking back at you.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's a big one there. You might be a warrior if obstacles are just things to be conquered and mountains are intended to be climbed. That's the only reason they're there. You might be a warrior if there are no bad days, only personal growth and development days. And I didn't tell you, but I should say I get to live these things before I get to speak them, so I know what I'm talking about. Even as recent as last week, I preach it myself. Okay, when I look at this stuff, I preach it myself, and okay, that's right. You know, I could preach myself happy. Just look back over this stuff and go, wow, that's good. I don't know where it came from. somebody say it might. Yeah. I say it's me. I don't know. That wisdom is kind of beyond me. I'll take it and I'll run with it. You know.
Wow. That is so good. And you're right. There's so many, that idea. I love what you just said about the drama-free zone beginning, you know, with the person you see in the mirror, beginning with your own heart and mind, because often that's where a majority of the drama occurs. And then it then does cause us to have drama with other people. But it just struck me as you're talking, we don't even have to have drama with other people. There's enough drama in our heads about I'm beating us up for doing this, and I didn't do that, and I should have, would have, could have.
I do that too, and it's ironic, and I'll just, you know, I'll say this. You ask me to do this warrior within. I have been battling the very thing this past 2 weeks, like, this is not who you are. Stop it. And it's all in my head. It's between my ears, and that is where our battle is. Is between our ears, that little voice trying to say, well, who do you think you are to do this? You can't do that. Why, you know, look around. You don't have what it takes to do this. Whatever kind of demeaning thoughts come in, that's what we're battling, and it is a huge battle zone. I mean, I'm graphic, so if I could think of Braveheart, you know.
mm-hmm.
We're battling those things coming against us, and it's all in our, it really is, it's all in your head. That's all in your
Wouldn't it be wonderful if every day we could start off and say, we are a miracle, we are a miracle, because you are a miracle, we're a miracle, we're all miracles, and just
Absolutely.
Start that day off fresh and erase some of those tapes, or at least even when the tapes start from years back, start going, okay, stop, wait a minute, let me work in the present. What's the present? What am I doing? That's awesome. It's so, such a battle. Yeah, and then some people have the battles and they turn to the drugs and the alcohol and other things to deal with the battles, I would say, right? And it just
So
how do you get go to the basics? Go ahead, Randy.
I was just going to ask her that very thing. So you wake up and you're having an off day. You know, you're not feeling it. Help somebody listening kind of go through, you know, your procedure, your protocol. What do you do when you wake up and go, man, I'm being, you know, attacked, whatever. I'm not feeling it today. What are some things maybe that you do to work your way through and out of that?
Well, it's interesting that she had mentioned, you know, let's stay in the present, not think about the past. But I thought, you know what, if you want to think about the past, and this is one of the things I'd recommend, if you want to think about the past, then you think about the good stuff. Okay, I may not do it today, but what have I done recently? Well, my goodness, I went and I ran 3 miles, whereas 2 years ago I couldn't. Or I just passed that test 2 weeks ago. Or, you know, me and my kids had a great conversation instead of fussing and fighting. Whatever, you know, just think about those things. And I'm big on writing lists. And I would say just to protect yourself from the next off day, because we have them. It's just, you know, life happens and we have those days. But if you have it written down, these are great things that have happened in the past. These are also things where I made it through. These are ways that I conquer drama in this situation, or the boss gave me this favor. Or, you know, just make a great list of awesome things that have gone on and ways that you've been strong. You know, if you're into the Bible, then write those things down. And for me personally, of course, having gone down the deeper path is the big thing about deeper path is having that written vision for your life, having that opus. And for me, I'll go back and review it. Oh, yes, this is who I am. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm not that person who got out of bed feeling all lousy. That's not who I am. I don't know where that came from, but that's not me. So you argue with it. Pick up your sword, whack it a few times, whatever it takes. But I say write it down and keep it before you.
You mentioned
like a gratitude list. A gratitude list. We could do every day a gratitude. Yeah, that would be cool to do it.
And I love that idea of writing down the things that, you know, that you've had victory in, you know, or obviously that you're thankful for. And, you know, I think intrinsic in this conversation about feeling and say truth, and for many of us, it's God's word. It's, you know, it is the Bible. And so for me, I've always kind of said it this way. And I even have this on my, you know, on my wall here in my office. Because there are days that you're, you know, you're not feeling, and the idea of, and here's a big word I learned in therapy, differentiation, you know, differentiating between what I'm feeling and what is the truth, right?
Oh, yes, good
what
one. That's
is
fairly
the truth?
Good. That's deep.
Okay, I'm feeling right now overwhelmed. I'm feeling unlovable. It seems like when we let one of those, quote, feelings in, we get dogpiled, and whether it's spiritual or our whatever, our tapes, I think all this other stuff dogpiles. Oh, you're unlovable too, by the way. And you're fat, and you're never going to be.
That's
you don't have
true.
Any money, and so you feel like this dogpile. And I literally have this thing that I look at, and it's just I said, you know, it says, here's the truth. The bottom line is, no matter what's going on, all is well, and I'm deeply loved.
mm-hmm.
You just
go like that.
It. You know, all is well, and I'm deeply loved. And you're getting me fired up now, Deborah, because you're just really hitting on something that I think we all struggle with. So, yeah, absolutely.
We do, and you're right on with it. Go ahead.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, you're right on with the differentiation. Of course, I studied psychology. You know, I have my degrees there. But
that's right.
Yeah, separating feelings lie. They do. They lie.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean. And if you don't believe it, next time, take a good look at how your feelings are. Pay attention to what they are and how quickly they change. They change so fast. If it was based in reality, I mean, your reality around you doesn't change on a dime. But our feelings, oh, my goodness. I mean, somebody says the wrong thing, and all of a sudden you've got steam coming out your ears. You know?
Hormones can have a say in that, too. That's all.
Or, you know, you fall into pits of despair because somebody said something ugly. You know, that's not based, it's not based on reality. Our feelings are just, they're crazy. And if we can learn just simply not to trust them, but trust, you know, the real truths and the core of who we are, the core of, you know, who God is, all of that. Like you said, you're deeply loved. That's a big one. You know, no matter what's going on.
I love that. I love that, yeah. And then some people are taught to squash the feelings totally, and they need to know that their feelings are important. But it's just deciphering, I think, with what's reality and what's not, right? Which, you know, because people, you can get very anxious and nothing's wrong. Nothing's going on that's wrong. And somebody can be, you can get anxious for just
that's a good point.
In that mind, you know, and go, wait a minute, why am I anxious? Like, what's going on right now? Is there something happened? Did it? No, everything's okay. So It's really interesting. When you're doing the Warrior Within, do you and your coaching, are you actually working with people on what they want to do, what their dream is to do in life, or what their purpose is here, or how do you tell us a little bit about how you, when you're working with them in coaching? I'm assuming it's one-on-one. I'm not sure if it's group as well. Do you dig in with, how do you just start that so they kind of have some kind of roadmap to follow?
Let's see. Well, I take people down the deeper path. So that's group generally, and we're dealing with their hopes and dreams. But it's something I walk in this. So individual conversations, friends, or whatever, I might hear some comment, oh, I wish I could do that, but I'm afraid. And I'll just start asking questions. And that may be, I would say that's the main thing for each one of us is to question our thoughts. Why? Why do you think you can't do that? You know, what's going on that you think you can't do that? Well, you know, and they'll come up with some kind of explanation. I might push harder. Why? You know, why is this? And let's get to the root of it. And usually it's not based in reality. It's based on some experience that kind of colored how they see things and they think they can't, you know. And I like to take people and challenge them for some little challenge to show them that they can. And recently I've kind of come to the mindset when I deal with people, I think my preference is going to be in actually coaching people to achieve bigger goals is to maybe start with a physical goal. You know, how about if you find the first 5K? Well, what does that have to do with my dream? Everything. Because if you can overcome this, you'll overcome all the mental, all the emotional, all the physical. You'll see that you get that done, and then you'll feel like, you know what? I did this. I can do this. So I want to give you a small intermediate goal that you can achieve, and you can write that on your list. It's something that you did, you know, success to move on. And almost think the physical is easier because then you can battle it all, but you're focused on the physical, so you don't notice the emotional stuff playing in so much, but it really does.
Yeah, I love it. That's so cool. And it's so important for people to know you are you for a purpose. You only have one fingerprint that's not like anyone else in the world for a reason. Stop trying to be someone else or like everyone else. Have you noticed that when you're coaching and counseling that a lot of people are trying to match up or compare or be what their parent told them to be or their spouse told them to be or someone else that they should be. And it's like, no. Who are you? Who are you supposed to be? That's all that's important, you know?
That's true.
Very interesting.
Or they're afraid of what they do have in their heart. Well, I've always dreamed I could do this, but there's always a but, it seems. And what I've been telling people in my groups is that, and this is a carryover but are saying, the world is waiting for you to get over what you're waiting for.
Oh, I love it. In this world
that we're in, there's so much need. And I ask them, you know, I've had people say, well, I want to build a shelter. I want to build an orphanage. I mean, big things.
Yeah.
And I'll ask, you know, we're waiting on all this. The world is waiting. What if you never do it? What are those people going to do?
Exactly.
You know, there's more about this than just you, if you can get beyond that.
Exactly.
And, you know, I have to remind myself, these little off days of my own, there's people waiting on me to be up. There's people that are really low that I have the experience to help them out. I can't lay in bed. I just can't do it. You know, there's too many other people depending on me. My family depends on me. So I get up and go after it. And I think we have to be mindful of those around us and not just that person in the mirror. That'll get us out of that.
But I think the person in the mirror is such a miracle that there's a balance to say, wait a minute, it's not about self-centered or selfish, like Jesus said, I came to serve, not be served. But Jesus also is teaching us to how special and magical we are. You know what I mean? I think it's kind of a, it's such a balance. It's such a, I guess that's that yin-yang, that up and down, what goes up must come down. I mean, at least the way we're built. And sometimes people think they're on a journey to one place and then find out, wow, it was really supposed to be this, but they didn't know and wouldn't have known if they didn't move towards the thing. I think it's just life is so remarkable, isn't it? It's just amazing. So I think what you're doing is wonderful because it's so needed to get people out of that funk part and that denial or whatever, I guess you want to call it.
Yeah.
Or maybe fear, frustration, all the no's, I guess, yeah. It's neat.
All of that. Deborah Wittig is our guest. And again, her website is takeonlife.net. You can connect with her there. and you can find out a whole lot more about her. And we've got about we've got 8 minutes left. And Deborah, you mentioned the deeper path, and you know when you say take somebody down the deeper path, I think to some people that can sound kind of scary. You know, it's like, whoa, I don't know. But I know that, that it is important. I have found in my experience that you do have to go deeper, you know, to go higher. You have to, somebody else once said, I heard a pastor say, the only way out is through. And everybody wants another mm-hmm. way out, but the only way out is through. Whatever that through thing is for you, right? And I realize the deeper path is a 10-week process and 90 minutes, you know, per session. And so, you know, we can't, you know, really cover a whole lot of it here. But could you give folks a little bit of an overview of kind of what you would lead them through in the deeper path?
Sure. Yeah. And the deeper path does sound kind of intimidating. And, of course, I don't want to make it all sound like, oh, this is going to be super easy and light and fluffy and funny. And
yeah.
I'm not going to say that, because the deeper path helps people to get in touch with the dreams that have been placed on their heart, the purpose that they're called to in this life. And generally, those are big things, and they're scary things. If we really look at them and we face them, many times they seem like they're bigger than ourselves. So I'm not going to say the deeper path isn't scary or couldn't be intimidating, but it's methodical. Take you step by step. Okay, write down the dream, and then let's narrow it down. Can you make it a purpose statement? Of course, but at that point, it's very liberating to realize, oh my gosh, that is why I'm here. And all of a sudden, all the things in your life seem to make sense. And your personality and the things that drive you. That's what happened with me, that I understood then why I did some of the things that I did and the passions that I have. I think it helps you to identify better who you are. And, you know, mm-hmm. what you're called to do. So it's not just a dream like, oh, I want to be a doctor. It's more than that. It's like specifically, I have a passion to help people to, you know, reach into this. Like for me, my passion is to help people to be more than they think they can be, to be who they're called to be. I've always had that even before I could identify it. Mm-hmm. So that's part of it. And just a methodical path, encourage them to face their fears. Let's identify what the obstacles are and we're going to face them, learn how to deal with them, and just start writing down the little action steps, essentially, until you finally have this vague dream that once was just kind of out there becomes dates on a calendar that are going to take it to completion. So from beginning to end. That's about as simple as I can and make it without it being too intimidating sounding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, action steps. I love that.
Life-changing process. It really was for me. It made all the difference in the world.
Yeah, and full disclosure,
like
anybody who listens to the show knows I've gone through that as well, and you're right. I mean, hours upon hours of, you know, sitting and thinking and praying and asking the Lord to help you kind of clarify, you know, and that whole clarity thing is huge, I think, for people. I mean, the idea, and I think one of the, what do they call it, the deeper path payoff is, you know, you get clarity and then you get confidence. Once you get confidence, mm-hmm. you get competence, then influence, impact, and income. And everybody wants to go right to the income, you know. Okay, how can I make money doing this? Well, there's some growing that needs to do, and especially if you're in the coaching
yes.
arena, you know, where you're going to be, you know, leading other people through. Wow, Deborah Wittig again with us, and we have, it looks like, we've got about four more minutes. And her website, takeonlife.net. What else are you involved with in Houston? What else is going on in your world in Houston? Give us a little snapshot of your life.
In my world?
Yeah.
I'm very busy in my own church, in leadership in my church, training people actually how to hear God and the prophetic, which is right along those lines, you know, learning to listen to him to figure out what it is you're supposed to be. I do deeper path with my church. And take them through so that
great.
Completely blessed. I have a pastor who's been through it, so he's totally with me, which is simply amazing.
Yeah, wow.
You know, getting ready to do a whole other cohort here, because that's not going to be Houston. It's going to be whoever can call in, so I'm going to do it by conference call this time.
Well, now you just hit on something that would take a whole nother show, but you coach people how to hear God?
Yes.
Wow.
That's the deeperpath.net, right, is what you're, yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's something I put on the website. It's just one of those things that even just recently, having my written dream, but of course, it's actually written as part of my opus that this is something I do. I don't think about it. It's just part of who I am.
Yeah.
And so actually putting who I am on paper and go, wow, okay. I just do it natural, and I figure everybody else does too. That's been a growing process to realize not everybody thinks like me. And that's okay. It's actually a good thing. So, you know.
Yeah. Wow.
God's amazing. God gave us, God's amazing, totally amazing. It's just.
Yes.
Unbelievable. It's just wonderful. No. It's just, and I think once you can learn and understand that, life's a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you learn to hear God, right? I mean, that's very, because I'll tell you, I don't know about you guys, but I get lots of crazy ideas, and a lot of times I'm like, okay, was that God, or was that just a good idea, right? You know, what was that? And we have 2 minutes. Give us a nugget on what you do in coaching people to hear the voice of God versus their own, you know, mind. What's one nugget maybe that you would encourage people?
One nugget.
Yeah.
Well, and I'll tie it back with what we started at the very beginning. One of the critical things about learning to hear him is when you're feeling those off days, you can talk to him about it and have him bring you back to reality. But hearing him is just a matter of just being quiet for a few moments and just listening. Everything he says is with his word, with the truth of his word. It does sound like that good idea, thinking, where did that come from? I know where my wisdom came from, and it didn't come out of my own brain. I had help. I had a lot of help from him. So it's actually pretty simple. You just sit and listen, just open yourself up to it. I find it easiest to just journal it, just write, and don't edit, just like a real writer would write a book. You write, and you don't edit it first. You just write those
flow.
Thoughts, just let it rip. And that flow going into the paper kind of, it makes it easier to put it on paper because our minds do those little tape things. But if you write, you can stay focused and keep going.
Wow.
And then go back and look at it. It's, in a nutshell, that's what it is. There's more to it, but I don't know that I could do it in a few minutes.
Yeah,
you know, to help people
quiet.
Avoid error, because that's a, you know, that's a concern.
Yeah,
really
I love
ask,
that.
Hey, what do you want to tell me today? And just
yeah.
Wait.
Oh, man, that's good stuff.
Awesome.
What is that verse?
Wonderful.
Be still and know that I am God, right?
Yes.
And
my sheep know my voice.
We will know. Wow. Deborah Wittig, amazing, awesome. Thank you so much. I knew it would fly by. TakeOnLife.net. You can contact her there. Wow. Again, I just want to thank you for joining us and adding value to our audience. And this has been really cool.
Pleasure.
Awaken the warrior within. I love that. So I'm going to go watch Braveheart tonight or Gladiator or something.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to share.
Thanks
a lot.
Thank you, Deb.
Thank you,
talk to you later.
Wonderful.
Okay.
To everyone out there, thank you. To everyone out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.